No, that script sucked. You just got lucky.
She's already tried to object to you twice. Do not ask where she lives.
Get over it and get back on the phone.
Great execution, but now is not the time to apply this.
Until you build rapport, when someone's kind of closed off like that, you're not going to get anywhere.
I do have to get back to work, though. So
there it is. That broke it. Cash Call, everybody. Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis back for another week for another riveting round of sales training, Brian. I didn't know if I could get that out. A little alliteration.
That was impressive. That was a lot of R's there.
I actually have a call today that demonstrates a lot of good techniques that we train on. So I'm actually happy about this because a lot of times people are like, hey, stop playing the stuff that doesn't work. Show us the stuff that does work. I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm like, there's so much more stuff that doesn't work than calls that go really well. I don't often hear a perfect call.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. And my call's pretty decent too. So, you know, we'll have two pretty good examples. And I've never heard the perfect call. I've never made the perfect call.
Me neither. You know what, man? I'd say the perfect call is the one that ends in a good result, regardless of how well you did. Let's start there.
That's the objective. I agree.
The pinnacle of the best call ever, right? Ends up in a good result, even if you screwed it up and smeared peanut butter and jelly all over it. And then down from there is, I'd say, I did everything right, but I ran into somebody who just wouldn't give me the appointment or move forward or whatever, right? There's always some sort of room for improvement or something to try when you don't end up with a good result, which would either be a really good solid nurture with a good logical next step, or something that ends in a, you know, a face-to-face or video-to-video meeting. Would you agree to that?
I would, and I'm going to just put a small caveat on it, though. There are phone calls that you could tell someone go directly to hell, and they're still going to meet with you. That doesn't make it a good phone call. I mean, I've heard phone calls that were just complete disasters, and the person just wanted to go see the house, so the agent got the appointment, and then they learned, I'm put that in air quotes, that, oh yeah, this script is good. No, that script sucked. You just got lucky. And I think that's important to think about as when you listen to sales calls, because I get a lot of sales calls that I listen to that they get the appointment. And what I realize is, A, they're going to get ghosted, real good chance of that. And even if they don't, they miss so much. There's a good chance the person has working with four other agents. That's a negative way to look at it. I don't like that false equivalency. If I got the appointment, therefore it's a good phone call.
Yeah, true. So I'm going to go ahead and play mine. And of course, there's a lot of stuff that's really good in this call. And then I'm going to have some suggestions here. Now, I can tell you this didn't work out for this salesperson. So we're going to start from the beginning.
Hello. Hey, Shelby. This is Jason with Stan Chin Homes. Is now a bad time?
Nope, this is okay. I'm at work, but I can talk briefly.
Awesome.
So he says, is now a bad time? I don't like that opener at all. Here's what I teach, Brian, is that if somebody is asking for something from you, if they're engaging with you, or if they're somebody you've done business with or a past client, sphere of influence, somebody that you have a bond with, you could totally ask, hey, is now a good time or is now not a good time? You can ask those things to be polite because you already have a connection with this person or they want something from you. When you're just calling leads that have registered and they don't want anything from you or aren't trying to talk to you, I wouldn't give them the opportunity to say, I can't talk to you now.
Yeah, let's even take it one step deeper. I agree 100% with what Jael just said. And what I heard was, you don't have time to talk right now, right? Like, basically, you told the person, it was almost like you created it. And obviously, it worked out. There's a phone call there. But holy smokes, why would you want to set that up? And if you're going to ask the question, at least ask it in the positive way. Is now a good time? Is now not a good time? No, it's not. You're right. Perfect. That's probably what I would have said. I don't know about you, but you know what? You're right. Now isn't a good time. Thanks for calling.
That's probably what I would have said. I can add on to that too. Let's say that you did use this sort of approach. You could minimize the ask by saying, hey, Brian, this is Dale Archdeacon with Amazing Realty. Do you have like 2 seconds for me to have a quick conversation with you? Or do you have just a couple minutes for me to run something by you, right? If you want, I'm not saying do that. I wouldn't do that. I think it's not a good thing to do, but I'm saying that's better than what this guy asked.
Yep, agreed. We're on the same page for sure.
So let's continue listening to what goes on. And listen, he says, I'm calling from blank, blank homes, right? The brand name is a person's name.
Yeah, hey, Dan asked me to give you a call. And thank you for checking out homes on our website through realty.com. And I was curious, were you just browsing or are you looking to make a move soon?
So he stuck our intro, which is great, right? Now, you know, the guy's done training with us before, so you can hear the technique coming through, which is great. But here's what I'd say. He said, I'm with blank blank Holmes, which is the person's name. I checked with him. He's not an ISA. He's an agent. And then he goes on to say, blank, the name on the sign, asked me to reach out to you. So I don't like that because you give your power away, me personally, right? Essentially, like, if it's almost like having your assistant give me a call. Now, first of all, you're a salesperson and you're interrupting my day and you're not even the point person. You're somebody's lackey. I really don't want to talk to you. What do you think about that?
Kind of like the same thing I kept telling agents when we switched over to a showing partner model. Don't call this person your showing partner, and not even just because of the lingo. The lingo's bad, and you're using language. That's not what I'm saying. You're saying you're not good enough to get the real guy. You're stuck with this person.
Right.
Because a show, and people said this term, a showing assistant. Like, no, I want the good guy. Like, I deserve the good person. I deserve, you know, we'll call the guy Bob. That's not his name. I deserve Bob. You know, I don't want to talk to you, not Bob guy. Bob's the guy who owns the company. I want to talk to Bob. There's no reason to set yourself up like that again. Hey, this is so-and-so with Amazing Realty. We're just reaching out to you because you made an inquiry. Just wondering if you guys are planning on making a move soon or if you're just window shopping. That's all you got to do.
Exactly. But he did stick the ask, right? Are you buying in the next few months or are you just window shopping or whatever he said, right? Great.
He said thinking of making a move and that works as well. I prefer window shopping, by the way, for everybody out there, but making a move still works.
Oh, no, just browsing. Nothing. I'm not even really in the market, just seeing what's around.
Okay. So not in the market, you're just seeing what's around right now. Okay. Real quick, do you live in the area now or are you relocating?
Look at that. He stuck the question, present tense, right? Do you live in the area or are you relocating? So you can hear the training coming through. Isn't that exciting?
It is exciting. Let me ask you this, Dale, and I'll just ask the question. Do you teach people to repeat back objections the way that guy did?
No. I don't know if he was doing it on purpose or if he was trying to think.
And here's the only thing I want to say about that, and I didn't know where Dale fell. I felt like we're on the same page, but, you know, Dale and I differ on things, and that's okay. When you repeat back the exact objection and you're not going to do an objection handler, you're reinforcing the objection.
Yeah, I don't like it. And also, I think that for people that are a little more savvy, consumers that are a little more savvy, they can hear it and they're like, here we go. This is the wind up to the salesman something that's coming next.
Right.
Is the way that I hear it, right? When you repeat that back to me. Or as a trainer, I also hear it as maybe you were stalling so that you could think of what to do next. But right. I definitely don't teach to repeat the objection back unless they said something crazy and you intentionally want them to reconsider what they said.
I will say this, if you're going to do this, and again, for me, when I handle an objection, I actually do repeat back the objection. But if somebody says to me, I'm just browsing was the objection, right? Let's listen to that real quick.
Wait, you're just seeing what's around right now. Okay.
Just seeing what's around right now.
I can really appreciate that. I get a lot of people who are just doing that, but don't literally repeat back what they said. The words that came out of her mouth, the exact same words that came out of his mouth. That is not acknowledgement. Acknowledgement is, oh, I can really appreciate that. I talk to a lot of people who do that. With that in mind, do you guys currently live in the area? If you're going to repeat it back, tweak it a little bit, throw in an I appreciate that. Oh, I hear that a lot. But don't just repeat back what they said. That's really a bad idea.
I think the only time that we teach people to repeat back what they said is, for instance, if somebody said, hey, Brian, thanks, but I have an agent I'm working with. We teach people to paraphrase and to go up on the end as a question specifically. So that would be, oh, you have an agent you're working with? That, and I'm just going to stop, right? So we teach that as a technique, but definitely not what he did.
But what you're trying to do there is you're trying to handle the objection. By the way, one of the best ways to handle an objection is ignore it because it's not an objection. And that's exactly what this is. I'm just browsing. You just ignore it, which is what he does, but he repeats it back before he does it. So,
yeah. And then, awesome. And then asks a good question. So let's go forward.
Great question.
Real quick. Do you live in the area now or are you relocating?
I live in the area. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Awesome. And I guess if you were to, it sounds like you're not in the market now, but at eventually some point you will be. And at that time, where would you like to be? Or like what areas are you looking around?
Now, I know how this call ends. she shuts him down and gets off the call and damn near hangs up with him. And here's what I would say is that she said, I have a few minutes to talk, so we already have permission. Don't say real quick because you're trying to excuse the fact that you're having a conversation with this person, and that just reinforces that you're a salesperson. So don't say that. Have a casual conversation. He did a good job by asking, do you live in the area or are you relocating? And now knowing what I know after listening to this call, I think that when she said, I live in the area now, I would have switched to a rapport building thing where it's like, oh, that's fantastic. I've lived here X amount of years. I went to whatever high school. How long have you been here? Or where did you go to school? Or, you know, because she doesn't sound like she's that old. So I want to switch into rapport building to try and show that we're real humans who have a commonality of living here together.
I agree. And you watch a lot of agents, and you know, Dale and I listen to an absurd number of phone calls, and I hear a lot of agents who get stuck. Yes. And two things that Dale and I teach very specifically are go to the current tense question, which he did. That was A plus on that. And then he didn't work on building rapport, though, because this is what I'll give him credit. You could hear him want to do this, but not do it. So when do you want to move? Like, he wants to ask that question. I know he wants to ask that question.
Dying.
And 100% credit for not asking that question. Yeah. But, you know, maybe something like, oh, so you're looking at, what do you see anything you like about our area? You know, I there's, for me, I like this and this and this and this. Hold on, is there anything you like about our area? Oh, you know what? I don't know where this is, but you know, the lakes next to the is amazing, or, you know, great bike ride, whatever, you know, who knows? I don't know where this is from, but get them talking about fun stuff. And all of a sudden you're building rapport. And because there's a no at the front of this call of, I don't live there. I'm not going to live there. I don't know if that's true. And I'm not calling this person a liar, but until you build rapport, when someone's kind of closed off like that, you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah. So now he goes to, where do you think you'd want to move to? And this is where I think we start to hit a nosedive in the conversation.
I'm not even sure. Yeah. No, I'm just kind of seeing what's listed around my house pretty much.
Okay. Around your house? Where are you at right now?
Okay. You're a male. She's a female. She's already tried to object to you twice. Do not ask where she lives. You tell her where you live or where your office is or where you love showing houses at and ask her what neighborhood or what area she's in, right? You have to trade in that way, and you have to talk about you first. What do you think, Brian?
Agree. Law of reciprocity, right? If I give you something, you feel that you feel obligated to give me something. And that is one of the most powerful rules in sales, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And you got to think about the disparity here, right? You've got a female who's not interested in talking to a salesperson. He's a male who is a salesperson, clearly a salesperson, right? So I think he needs to be cognizant of that. And he has to offer first to make her more comfortable before she's going to give back information in return.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, that's the world we live in. And it's the world we live in. So I can fight the reality if I want, or I can just deal with it.
So let's put this into the context of male and male or female and female. If I'm talking to somebody and their personality style, they've already rejected me. Now, keep in mind, I know I'm a salesperson and they know I'm a salesperson. Everybody knows that. If they reject me and they are the type of personality that's withholding with information, I know I have to give first. It doesn't matter what it is, right? So yeah, even with that sort of disparity between us, if it was two fat old white guys talking to each other and I'm the sales guy and he the other guy's not, and he doesn't want to talk about himself, I better talk about me first. That's how it goes.
To give, you know, it's that whole, what's the guy's name? Gary Vee, you know, it's jab, left hook. You're jabbing. Okay. I got in. I can throw the big haymaker now.
I'm over just in friendship. Yeah, I do have to get back to work, though. So
there it is, that broke it.
Oh, okay. Hey, no worries. Real quick before you go, so when do you think you would be in the market to move?
Oh, no.
I had to ask.
I don't know, to be honest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it, like, within the next couple of years, or do you think longer yet?
Maybe longer than that. Yeah.
Maybe longer. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's you know, what's the benefit of waiting longer than 2 years to buy?
Oh, now listen. This is what kills me, Brian. This is what hurts my soul. Amazing instinct. Like like textbook execution, but like in somebody else's end zone. It's just like the wrong, you went the wrong direction with the ball. Great idea, great execution, but now is not the time to apply this, right? Because we're already fighting a losing battle.
Yeah, the 3 hours, right? The right conversation with the right person at the right time. That was the right conversation.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not even sure it was with the right person, and I definitely wasn't at the right time. So no matter how brilliantly you're scripted, if you're having the wrong conversation with the wrong person, you're done.
Yeah. Doesn't that hurt? Like you know that technique, that strategy is like amazing. That's
what's
golden.
The benefit?
Oh my God, that's so good, right? Oh, it was the wrong application.
But I want to say this. Clearly this is one of your students. And here's the thing. He's at least trying to use the training, and that's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can tell you that I've listened to 25 phone calls in the last couple of days, and nobody asked that question. Now, in our role play, we asked that question, but I can tell you I didn't hear that in a single phone call that I've listened to in the last couple of days. So here's the thing. If you're going to try the thing and you go, well, that didn't work. Now he understands why it doesn't work and where it doesn't work. So hopefully next time he can use that tool. So I still want to applaud anybody who's willing to try something, because if you don't try it, you're never going to get it wrong, but you're never going to get it right.
Yeah, no, he executed the strategies really, really well. I want to listen back with him with this and say, okay, you hear how amazingly you did, how you executed this, how you caught the cues that you needed to have. There's just some cues that you missed, right? Which is that we were way off base with this individual on where they're at and what their emotional temperature was in this conversation.
Waiting longer than 2 years to buy.
I don't know, but thank you though. Have a nice day.
Click.
Click. Oh God, that's painful. So painful.
I wonder if people are not going to know what click means 5 years from now.
They're not. I don't know if my kids know what that means. I will say this though. I really enjoy hearing the technique because it just sounds right. Unfortunately, it was in the wrong scenario where it didn't work at all and honestly worked against him. At that point, man, I don't know what else would have worked. I think the only thing that could have worked, Brian, possibly, is if he did like some sort of get real, right? Get real and then had a good reason to have a conversation. So let me try this. Let's say that you're this lead and it's clearly going down in flames. We're going to hit the trees, right? I feel like you're going to hang up on me any minute because you're over it. I might say, hey, Brian, listen, I get it. I don't like talking to salespeople either until I'm ready to buy something or I have a burning question. And I can tell you're not wanting to talk to me. But listen, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I work with 20 to 30 families and people every single year, and I help them make their next move and avoid any pitfalls that could pop up. And so every conversation usually starts like this before they're ready or before they want to talk to me. So I'm not trying to sell you anything right now. I just want to get an idea of what has you motivated to look so I can keep you in my mind for later on and potentially help you find a great deal. Is it okay if I just ask you a couple of questions?
I completely love where you went there. And, you know, for me, sometimes when I get to the point where I realize that I'm losing, for lack of a better way to put it, it's that kind of the Hail Mary. So, hey, Dale, I can really appreciate, clearly you're not ready to move. I understand that. Yeah. Let me just say this. I talk to people all the time on a Monday and they're not ready to move. And I talk to them on Friday and all of a sudden life has changed. I don't think that's going to happen to you necessarily, but here's what I'm going to do. If it's all right with you, I'm just going to follow up with you every, you know, couple months because stuff changes all the time. So, you know, I really appreciate you taking some time to spend some with me today and I might get some more information from them and I'll talk to you in a couple months. Because to me, this is a D. So I follow up with my D's. This is a D person, A being the highest, D being the lowest. D is anybody who's more than a year out. And I'm not calling that person more than every couple months. I might even be longer than that. But I do want to, by the way, I believe what I said. The last house that I bought when I was in Arkansas, we weren't thinking about buying a house. If anyone had asked me, Brian, are you looking about buying a house? We'd be like, no. It just happened though. Like life happened and an opportunity showed up. And we're like, why are we living in this house that we hate? But it just kind of happened. But there was no plan. I didn't get on realtor.com and spend, well, I'm a realtor, but I didn't get on the MLS and spend hours looking. And no, it's just, you know what? I think we might want to move. So that's a mistake that agents make. When someone tells them hell no, that doesn't mean hell no forever. It means hell no right now.
Yeah, exactly. What do you got for us today, Brian?
You know, I got a pretty good call, a couple of opportunities. This person's an investor and they already own a property where they're looking at it, and they're looking at potentially getting another one for an Airbnb. So they have some questions that are actually relevant. You know, sometimes we get those questions that our buyers ask and we feel like we have to answer them and it's a waste of time. They're actually relevant here, and I think that's an important differentiation. But let's listen to it and see where this goes.
Hello.
Hey, Molly. This is Pat with the Curtis Realty Group in Northwest Arkansas. Realtor.com wanted me to reach out. I guess you had an inquiry about a property.
Oh, yes, I did.
Awesome. Did you have questions about it, or were you wanting to go take a look at it?
Well, I don't live in the state. I have another property I own over there. And so I was just wondering about this one that I saw on Realtor. Are you the realtor of the house, or?
I'm not the listing agent. I would be a buyer's agent in this case.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't love that. But it was a very direct question. Do you represent the seller was basically what the person said. And so from that perspective, I think he did what he had to do, which was to honestly answer the question.
I don't think so. I think based on the way she's talking, I think that I could get her around this. And here's what I would do. So can you go back to when she asked him the question and the phrase she used?
Are you the realtor of the house, or?
I'm not the listing agent.
Are you the realtor of the house, or? And I'd ask, well, did you have specific questions about the property, or are you wanting to go see it? Go straight back to a question to her, because if she really is committed to only talking to the listing agent, then she will reinforce that. But sometimes, Brian, I think you've experienced this where people don't know what else to ask you or where to start. And so they ask that question, and it sounded kind of like that's what she was doing.
It does get asked a lot. And, you know, hey, I honestly don't directly represent the seller. I do work with buyers. Bam. So if you're going to cover it like he did, make sure you're moving fast past it. Just like answer it like it's a fact, not like it's relevant fact. You're going to answer it, if you're going to say that you're not the listing agent, answer it like a fact, but don't make it be a big deal.
If you're going to answer it, definitely I agree with that. I'm going to give another option here. Does he know that that property is not listed with your brokerage? Now, you're an independent broker, right?
Probably, because we don't, you know, it's not like we're a Keller Williams franchise and we've got 1,000 listings. So,
okay.
Yeah, there's 99% chance that it's not. I mean, we carry a decent number of listings for the number of agents, but yeah, we're not carrying hundreds of listings.
So here's what I'm going to say. If he knows for a fact that it's not listed with your company, then I would try and avoid the question.
Okay.
If he does not know for a fact that it is not listed by your company, what my answer would be, if you wanted a different approach, would be this. I'm not familiar with this one. It may be listed with our brokerage, but let me ask you, do you have specific questions for the listing agent, or were you wanting to go see it? That's the strategy that I would use to try and get them around it. That's only if I don't know for certain that it's not listed with my brokerage. And that's way easier if you're with a large company like Keller Williams or Berkshire Hathaway or Coldwell Banker, right? Where there's lots of offices and you know, all listing agreements are with the broker, not with the agent anyway.
Right. And it varies from state to state. Like in my state, any property that's listed by our brokerage is considered dual agency. So we don't have transaction broker. There's different things for different states. But at the end of the day, I've been licensed in 4 states and the broker still owns every listing in all of those 4 states. So I don't know how it would be different a lot of other places.
Yeah. So my argument here is if you don't know for certain that your broker is not the listing agent, then you don't have to answer directly that you're not the listing agent because you don't know that.
It's not a lie. We don't want to lie.
It's not a lie. Omission is not a lie. Ignorance is not a lie, right?
Okay.
Are you the realtor of the house, or?
I'm not the listing agent. I would be a buyer's agent in this case.
Oh, okay.
But I can get answers to any questions you have.
I was just wondering if on the listing it said there's a 2-car garage and it didn't show any pictures of the garage. It looked like it was just a townhouse with 2 parking spots out front. Okay. Sometimes they put things in the listing that aren't.
This is a classic example of where it didn't matter. It did not matter. She just wanted to know about the damn garage, but she wasn't here. I'm going to tell you psychologically what went on with her, and this happens frequently. I, as a consumer, don't want to ask a stupid question. And so, you know, I want to make sure I'm not making a mistake. And so if I ask the telemarketer in Pakistan, whether it's a two-car garage, you know, clearly that person probably doesn't know. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
So she was just trying to be like, okay, let me make sure that I should ask this question of you so I don't do something wrong and look foolish or make a mistake. That's literally what her listing agent question was.
You know what it is? In part, we have scar tissue, right? You know, you deal with this stuff so much. I only want to talk to a listing agent. I only want to do this. I only want to do that. We start to get scar tissue. And we're like, oh, crap, here comes the objection again. And you got to understand, each person's different. Each situation is different. Don't presuppose that someone's about to be pissed off that you're the listing agent or not the listing agent.
Yeah, I mean, listen, for lack of scientific evidence, I would say, Brian, tell me if you think you agree with this. Probably only about 20 to 30% of the consumers who initially ask you if you're the listing agent actually only intend to talk to the listing agent or have a specific purpose around it.
I would say 20%, and half of those you can talk out of it. And then The other half are going to be stubborn. So about 10% of the people, you can give them the greatest script that Dale's ever created and it ain't going to matter. And that's okay. We're still going to give them the script though, right? We're still going to try. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And that's just called sales.
Yep.
It's that scar tissue stuff though, what I'm talking about. Like, put an agent in a room and ask them to tell you about a phone call. Are they going to tell you about that amazing phone call that they had? No, they're going to tell you about how 3 weeks ago, someone told them to go to hell. It was three freaking weeks ago. Get over it. Do whatever you got to do. You're going to get told to go to hell. You're going to get some scar tissue. Get over it and get back on the phone.
So I was wondering if there was an actual garage, whether it's a Tuckford or what. I was wondering if what the townhome fees are. And in the listing, it says the sellers are willing to sell the furniture and furnishings and stuff. I was wondering what they wanted for that.
Perfect. Okay.
Because so, I have a current place in Bella Vista as well, and I Airbnb it, and that's what I plan to do with this one as well.
Awesome. So POA dues, two-car garage, and what they want for the furniture.
Well, I know there's a the property owners as far as Bella Vista, because I already own a house there, but just the townhome fees itself.
Correct. Okay. Awesome. So I'll get that information for you. Did you have any other questions about that or any other property?
I don't think so. We'll be in town there in the end of the month. If it's still on then, I'd like to take a look at it, but I don't know if it's going to be on then.
Of course.
That's a month away.
So is that kind of what you're looking for? Like,
Was this a Zillow inbound Zillow call?
Is a realtor.com lead that was actually an email lead that the agent called. He called the client and they answered.
Got it. Okay. The reason I'm asking is because if you guys are not Zillow Flex, then he can go off script.
Yes.
And he can get a lot more info. Okay, good. Yeah, I think he's doing really well. One thing I want to point out to the listeners, she's giving the information that you should ask for. Right?
Absolutely.
Hey, when are you going to be in town? Mm-hmm. Right. Hey, you're doing Airbnb. That's fantastic. It sounds like it's going really well for you. Is that what you have planned for this one? So the two questions that I just gave, she already gave that information. We didn't have to ask those things. But when you listen to this call, think to yourself, what question would I ask? How would I formulate the question to get what she already volunteered for us?
And here's the thing I want to point out. It's great when the client does this, right, Dale? Like, it makes our job so easy.
Absolutely.
And don't be that agent who has to be in control and take over. I've watched so many agents when this starts to happen, they go, but I want to talk, but I want to talk. No, they're doing your job for you just as well, if not better than you could. Yeah. Let them do it. And that's all he does. He's just like, yep. Okay, great. I appreciate, you know, he's just hanging in there doing his job, and that is perfect. She wants to talk. Let her freaking talk. And I love that.
I just thought of an analogy. If the lead is filling out the application, get the hell out of the way, right?
Right. Who wants to do the paperwork anyway, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If she's checking the boxes, if she's putting the information into the application, if it's relevant information, stuff you need anyway, just get the hell out of the way and let him or her do it.
Yep. Absolutely. Now, this is basically, he does a good job, buttons it up. He set, you know, gets her contact information, does all the great good stuff. This is what I think he missed. She's going to be in town next month. Now, our market, I'll just, for, you know, if you don't know this stat, you should know this stat. My market has 61 days of inventory in it right now. So basically, we are in a seller's market, and I would even go as far as say it's an extreme seller's market. Probably 59 is where I call it extreme, but it's pretty much a seller's market. 180 is balanced, and you know, we got three times more inventory before we get there. What's my point of that? Why not offer to do a video tour for this person?
Absolutely.
And I think that was the only thing that we missed here. And even if she doesn't end up wanting to write an offer from the video tour, you provided a value. We talked about this on your call, law of reciprocity. Hey, I like this guy, Patrick or Bob or Fred or whoever he is, because he goes out and he shows houses for me. Oh, okay. I mean, he'll go out in volunteering that. And it was this close to being great. And so it went from great to good.
How old is this call?
Sometime last 30 days.
When I'm training people, if I hear something like that, and that call was from this week or last week or I don't care, 2 weeks ago, I'll be like, we're stopping training right now. You go call her and you offer a video walkthrough if that property is still available.
And I would have done the exact same thing. Like, hey, why don't you call her back and say, hey, I just had this idea. It just came to me.
Yeah.
Because it did, because clearly you didn't have it during the call.
Right.
And, exactly. Hey, you know, I was just talking to my broker and I just wasn't thinking, you know, make it fun, you know, loosen it up. But yeah, why don't I do this for you? And by the way, stop asking people, start telling them.
Yep.
Hey, would you like me to do a video tour for you? No, that's okay, Brian. I'm good. Hey, Sue, I don't know what her name was. Hey, Sue, I just came up with this idea. I'm going to run out to that house and do a quick video tour. Would you like me to do it live or would you like me to record it and send it to you?
Love it. That sounds great. Yeah. And you could couch it in, hey, you know, if it works, if this is a great buy for you and makes a lot of sense for an Airbnb, I don't want you to miss out on it.
Yes. And, you know, talk about inventory. Realistically, I don't know it's going to be gone, but the price point we're at, realistically, this isn't going to last 30 days. And I would hate for you to miss that opportunity. What do you, so I'm going to go do this and then you can take a look at it. And, you know, this is where I do want you to be in control. But so many times agents ask those yes, no questions. And by the way, people's default is no. It doesn't make them bad or whatever. It's just a reality, right? Hey, hey, Mr. Person, I'm a salesperson. Can I help you? No. Every time. Yeah. Every single time.
Exactly.
So, you know, just think about that and where you're going with it.
Well, listen, I don't know about you guys, but I think today's episode was probably worth $5,000.
At least.
We will let you have it for free if you subscribe to our YouTube channel. How does that sound, Brian? I think that's a deal, right?
That's a win-win.
Great seeing everybody. Cash Call, Dale, Arch Deacon, Brian Curtis, over and out.
Thanks, everybody.